Willpower can only take you so far. Hey, some people have more willpower than others. If you don't need Christ, if you can do it yourself, oh, hey, Jesus came for those who need a physician. Weak people like me need Christ. Strong people like you don't. And until you can acknowledge your need for him, then you have no place with him. A broken and a contrite heart God does not despise. We come to him humbly and seeking his favor. There's no other way you can approach. If you try to approach any other way, you're approaching him as a fool and he will treat you like one. So not according to the covenant made with their fathers in the day when he took them out of Egypt. Because they continued not in his covenant. He gave them a covenant and they didn't continue in it. If you read the history of Israel, they came into the land, they started worshiping idols. God's like, they're like the heathen that were here before. And so he cast them out of his presence. He caused them to be carried away into captivity, first to the Assyrians, and then also to the Babylonians, with only remnants returning, many of them being lost. The memory of them he caused their memory to cease from among mortals. So he did not regard them anymore. You are not my children. There's a whole thing in Hosea. You are not my people anymore. And that was part of the deal. In the covenant, the old covenant, they continued not in my covenant. So I cast them out. And the new covenant is better promises because God's elect. He will cause them to continue in the covenant. By his spirit. He does. Well, what about people who fall away? Well, they fall away because God isn't causing them to stay. And they have another calling altogether. As Judas did. He was called. He was chosen. Have I not chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil. When Jesus didn't know when he started out? No, he knew. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. Verse 10. We cover this verse plenty. Verse 11. You're not going to have to teach each other. Know God. And that's a generic idea like, oh, know God, know his laws, know his word. You're not going to have to teach one another because it will be in you to do those things. In the old law, it was, you know, these are my commandments, these are my laws. You will teach them to your son and to your son's son and to your son's son's son and to your descendants. You will teach them, you will teach them, you will teach them. You will teach them to know me, you will teach them to follow me, etc. In the new covenant, it's not like that. Wait, if it's not like that, Paul, then why are you teaching us? No, no, no. What it is God's people. All God's people had to be taught to know the Lord. They had to be taught this, that, the other. God writes it in us to know him if we are his people. The people outside, we cannot teach. I cannot make anybody take hold of God's covenant. You know, this is not like in the Old Testament, where the nation of Israel, all the people were supposed to be under the covenant. Now it is whom the Lord calls and whom the Lord chooses. So it's different. And of course we teach each other. But I don't teach you to know the Lord. Meaning, the reason you're listening is because you want to know the Lord. You want to know God. I don't have to say, hey, you're one of God's chosen. Know him. You will already know within yourself you need to know God. Because God put it in you to seek him. He gave you a heart to seek him. He has called you. In the old covenant, the priests had to go around and later on with the Pharisees and the rabbis, go to the families of the Jews and cause them all to know me. Listen, people, you've got to know the God, got to know our God because we are his chosen people and we all have to be instructed in this. In the new covenant, according to election, we all will know him. This is also looking forward, I believe, to the reign of Christ. because there's a certain optimism here that obviously, you know, according to the Apostle John, whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him, in 1 John 3. It means while we yet commit sin. And this is from our perspective. Now, from, you know, God may look at us as his elect and impute righteousness to us on the path to true godliness. But from our perspective, we know the things we do. And God knows too, but he is being gracious with us and passing over those things as we become like Christ. So there's an optimism here. I would be merciful to their unrighteousness. You know, so it's looking forward to where all will know him. To know him is to be truly free. Whoever commits sin is the sinner of sin. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I don't want to serve sin. I want to be free. I want to serve Christ. I want to be under his covenant. I want to know the Lord. Because if I say I know him, and I'm a sinner, I'm a liar. So all will come to know him. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. He forgets, he casts them aside by the blood of Christ in the new covenant. Now God always has that prerogative to forget sin, to pass it over, to forgive it. Under the old covenant, there were ways to be forgiven. But in the new covenant, the way of forgiveness has changed. It's the sacrifice of Christ. And then it is by our turning, or him turning us, however which way perspective you want. You know, from the perspective of the one in the car, we turn the car. From the perspective of the car, from outside the car turns. It doesn't really matter, the perspective. The fact does not change. We must turn. And then he says, a new covenant maketh the first old. Now that which is decayeth, and what decays and gets old is ready to go away. And the old covenant, being old, decayed, and vanished away. And is no more. Now there is the new covenant. And this is the way in which we become saved.